What up, y'all? It's your boy Kevin on stage, and I want to tell you about Black Married and Debt Free. Okay, they're a couple that paid off $110,000 in debt in 2017, and now they want to educate and inspire millennial couples to do the same. So, what I want y'all to do is subscribe to their page. Go on YouTube, go on Instagram, and get the following going at Black Married Debt Free. It's everywhere, all right? So, if y'all don't want to be broke no more, you want to be debt free in victory. Then go follow them, Google them, look them up, and see what they're talking about, because don't nobody want to be broke. You feel me?
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my beautiful wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast. And it's an emphasis on married today, right? Because
yes.
We're going to be talking about marriage and money and how that whole thing can get all wrapped up in and tangled up together. And we're going to be talking about an article that we saw on CNBC Making It, or CNBC.com. It says, yes, marry for money. A top economist shares the surprising financial benefits of marriage. I mean, I know what they are, you know what I'm saying? But we want to share those with you.
But did you marry for money? It says, yes, marry for money. That is a quote.
Yeah, yeah. So, Shara, before we tap into that, let's speak to our wonderful audience. For those of you watching us, we'd like to thank you for being with us. If you enjoy this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think. Leave a little note there and say, hey, I like these guys. You know, they're good. I enjoy the podcast, because what that does is that makes us more visible to others who haven't yet been fortunate enough to come across our content. So we appreciate that. Shira, let's get into it.
Okay, what's
should
up?
Should we marry for money? You brought me this article, so obviously it yes. grabbed something. So
I love it.
Where would you like to start?
Okay, and so for those of you who are listening on the podcast, I want to mention that the first picture on the screen is literally a bride, like, picking up the groom and like holding the groom, you know how the wedding cake topper,
right.
As the wedding cake topper,
right? So let's dig on this, Shire. I mean, so I think this
what do you think author, about the topic in general?
Should you marry for money? I think it needs to be no. I don't think you should marry just strictly for money. But you want it to be. Dang, this is tough.
You stop right in your tracks.
This is tough. I want to make sure I say the right thing. Because look, Shire, and we always talk about this. Me and you married with nothing, right? But
is that acceptable at our age if we were single? I think it's okay
when you're in your early 20s, but no one does that anymore, right?
Yeah.
21-year-olds, very few marry each other, right, in 2022. Mm-hmm. So let's say if you're in your 30s, yeah, I think you need to be checking them wallets. It needs to be at least, your partner needs to be able to at least be able to build a life with you, right? You can't marry someone who doesn't have a job.
Really?
Or doesn't have, I think you can't, man. That's just.
Are you saying.
Okay, so let's be specific.
Does that go for men and women?
I'm speaking for the ladies. I'm speaking for the ladies.
So the lady must have a job.
No. If the lady is being pursued by a man for marriage, he must at least be able to show that he can take care of himself.
What if he's a student? And he is taking care of himself, but he's using student loans.
He's not ready for marriage yet.
He's not ready.
No.
Okay.
You need to be able to take care of yourself. And if you're marrying a young lady or pursuing a young lady who is, you guys have been talking, and maybe she plans to be a stay-at-home mom, or, you know, she doesn't plan to enter the workforce, then that means you got to have enough to take care of both of y'all. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're courting a young lady who maybe is on a career path or going to school or whatever, then you need to be able to take care of yourself, and y'all going to partner together when she get her career going, and y'all going to build this thing together. That's from a lady's point of view, how I think she should look at it. Do you see any holes there?
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Here's another scenario. What if the male cannot afford to take care of himself in the sense that, you know, apartment or place, you know, but if they were to come together and combine their finances, then he would be able to do that.
So he could put something on it.
And, he could put something on
and
it.
And she would be the main breadwinner?
Not necessarily. I mean, what if they have comparable salaries?
Okay.
Because a lot of times people are renting like rooms.
I see what you're saying.
You know, so.
I think we're good there. I think we can make that work. I think we could build on that. If the love is, I don't want to say love, but if.
But you did though.
I think those two individuals are better together than they are apart, obviously, right? Apart,
you financially.
Financially
speaking.
Yeah, so it's a come up for both of them. So I think that's good.
Okay.
What you think, Shire?
I think that this article isn't really speaking to people on beans and rice budget. It's like...
Talking about some folks with some money, huh?
Yes, yes, marry for money. And I don't even think they're talking about someone.
Yeah.
Well, in their situations that we were just describing.
Right.
So one of the things that it says is marrying for money isn't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And then the writer goes on to say that, this is a quote, so it's not me, it's a quote. I'm not claiming that money is the only deciding factor in pairing up. For most of us, love transcends money. But we humans have the capacity to fall in love with lots of people. And there's no shame in targeting your swooning on someone who can provide you with a higher standard of living. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Okay. So let's do it. You got guy, you have guy A and guy B. Well, you know what? Let's, I'm a male. So you have lady A and lady B.
Okay.
Okay. Lady A has $100,000 student loan debt, right? Lady B doesn't. They both have comparable jobs, making comparable income. A, and I like them both equally. I'm going with B. You know what I mean? Like, so
the student loan will deter you.
Yeah, so that's kind of marrying for money in a way that is more realistic from a man's perspective, because there's not too many solid dudes that are marrying on a come up. You know what I mean? But there may be some, but men should be marrying like, okay, what is her spending habits like? What is her debt like? Like, that's kind of more where through a male's lens, you know, but I don't know too many stand up brothers that's going to be like, I'm marrying for her money because she got money. And that don't sound, that's not the brothers I hang out with, you know, not me. But from ladies' perspective, what do you think? Because now I think maybe ladies may be looking more towards, well, what is he earning? You know, so let's hear it, Shy.
So basically you're saying if there are two males and one, I won't say the student loan debt, but I'll say one is a six-figure earner.
Yes.
And one makes, you know, $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do I choose?
Which one do you choose?
Well, I think that this article is missing other factors.
Okay.
Like, okay, here I am overcomplicating, but
you are.
No, I'm sorry. But I think there are other factors that you have to consider, like his family, upbringing, personality.
Personality. Does he treat you well?
Yes. Uh-huh. But this is kind of weird because in their example, it's like if two people are the same in most respects, but I just cannot really recall a time in my life that I was like dating two people at the same time.
Right.
Who I was thinking of marrying like them
that's
both.
Deep. Yeah, that's deep in the, you know what I mean? You're pretty far into the relationships at that point.
Like, yeah, it's like we don't take it one at a time right. anymore. I mean, at least that's what it was.
Hey, you know,
what is it
now? I don't know
what
the young folks is out there doing these days. You know what I mean? But yeah, I feel you. Well, let's go a little bit deeper. So I think we kind of we kind of, you know, touched on where we are there. Let's go to his second.
But I will say that, you know, the higher earner is probably more attractive,
more desirable, you know, more could command more probably young ladies than someone making less, right?
Why have to say young ladies?
Gonna have more suitors. There we go. Okay, so let's dig on it, Shire. So the next one is, marriage can mean important Social Security benefits.
Hey, we went straight to Social Security.
Nah, we are.
Yeah, Do you know how many years we have to be together in order for me to get the Social Security check? I mean, I feel like the article kind of took a turn. I mean, right. there's a big gap in there, but still, you know, I don't think an extra Social Security check. It's will not going to hurt.
Yeah, it won't hurt. But will we even have Social Security 30 years from now?
Who knows? But if that's on here, if that's part of the reason, okay. Yeah. What else we got?
So let's scroll down. So we have get married, but always assume you'll get divorced.
Ooh. So the article goes on to say that an estimated 41% of all marriages will end in divorce or separation. And this is from data from a California-based law firm. And then some 60% of second marriages go south, while 73% of third marriages will start with forever and end with sayonara.
Which means somebody going to pass, pretty much. Is that what that means?
No.
It just means bye. It's
like
over. Goodbye. Yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, I would think that, you know, you're in your third marriage, you know, you would have figured some things out along the way.
Yeah.
But statistically, it doesn't look like that's happening. Okay, so what's that have to do with the money part?
And I don't think you should go into it with bad faith, right? I
mean, okay, talk about it.
You want to go into it with a abundance mindset, right? To quote some of our favorite thought leaders.
A mindset is only going to take you so far if you're not getting along with somebody.
Right, right. But you want to make sure you're getting into it, because that's the thing too. If you're getting into it just because of do the numbers make sense, then you run a bigger risk of divorce because you didn't marry the person for the right reasons to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not that money shouldn't be a factor, but it shouldn't be the main factor. This person makes more. I'm going to marry them. You know what I mean? Something like that. You're doomed. To me, you're doomed from the gate.
Right. So you're not going to like this part, because this article goes on to say, maybe it's time to reset our idea of marriage from a lifelong partnership to a temporary arrangement that should be celebrated for lasting as long as it does and not lamented for coming apart. What are your thoughts on that?
I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that, because I come from, you know, a family of people who've been married for, you know, 60, 50, 40 years, you know, mm-hmm. aunts, uncles, grandparents, parents. And so, like, it can be done. Like, I see it that it can be done. I know these numbers are real. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, divorce is real. But I think it can be done.
I would say most families are not like yours.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think you're right.
And I hope that our generation can continue that legacy. Mm-hmm. But it is very rare in that most people don't have that as their experience.
Yeah. And that's not to say that they didn't have some of the exact same problems that divorced relationships had. But mm-hmm. they just decided to, hey, man, we're gonna, you know, make it work. So I don't know, Shire. I don't like that mindset right there. That, hey man, we made it. We had a good run. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that. But I do believe that if the unforeseen does happen, that we can still be adults about it. We can be humans about it. We can be amicable. You know. So he's kind of teasing that, like, pretty much like this. Just because you're getting a divorce, like, don't be a man scorned or a woman scorned and be so toxic in within the divorce, but say, you know what, you know, I have respect for those relationships when they is like, hey, we both agree it's not gonna work, and they're amicable and like adults about it. I like, you could find some positivity in that, like, okay, it's not toxic.
Yeah. And then tying back to the topic, yes, marry for money, I mean, if you're starting and you're coming in with nothing and then you build together and then you cut everything down the middle.
We're going to go there too.
I guess you could make an assumption that maybe you are walking away with more than what you came into the relationship
It's messy now.
But it is very messy. I'm not.
Well, how do we clean up some of that mess, Shire? What are some things that people do before marriage to help clean up the mess? What do we got here? Put a prenup on it.
Okay, this is from the article. Prenup on it. Okay, what's your thoughts on that?
Hey, here's the thing. Me and you. Me and you started building this life together. We literally had $0. Zero and zero, right? No assets, no savings, no investments, no nothing. Everything we have, we've built literally together.
I know. I'm not saying that we recommend that. For other people.
I think it's insane, actually.
who let us do that?
That's us. That is extremely rare. Nowadays, people coming together have something. Most of them have careers. They've been investing. They have maybe, you know, their own homes a lot of times. Mm-hmm. How important is your stuff? How important is your stuff?
What is yours when you're married?
What you bring to the marriage.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? How staunch are you on, like, if this goes south, I really kind of want this to be mine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think if you have those conversations up front, I don't see what's really wrong with a prenup. Hey, let's say you don't even need one, right? It's like having a home defense weapon, okay? It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. I hope I never have to bust that thing out, but... If it comes to it, I got it ready. You know what I mean?
You think folks should have prenups?
Why not? It's like a life insurance or some type of insurance. You know, I'm not for the, if I get it, I'm wishing on it. If I get life insurance, I'm wishing death on myself. No, I'm trying to just make sure we good. And I think as long as the two parties agree with it and there's no contention with that, then we good. What you think?
I think it's something to consider nowadays.
Because it'll keep from being messy in the event, God forbid, you guys split or the two individuals split.
So what if a man marries a woman and she is a high income earner and she has her own home?
Oh, the one with less is going to be salty.
So, yeah, the one with less is going to be salty. But say they get married and they were married for, you know... 10, 15 years, and during that time, the husband is, you know, paying the mortgage or paying half the mortgage. You think they should have a prenup that would exclude him from receiving alimony if the wife made significantly more, or would exclude him from being a beneficiary, you know, or having any claim to this asset that he put money into?
See, now the inner workings of the prenup, I that's where I don't get my fingers in it. I think that's something that would need to be worked out with them. But in your scenario, from the outside looking in, I think, yeah, that needs to be worked into it some kind of way. And the thing about prenups is you can really, from what I understand, you can customize them to fit your unique situation. And then what you build together, obviously, you would have to split those things. But... this is specifically speaking to someone who's coming to the table. I mean, maybe you're marrying in your 40s. Maybe this is your second marriage, you know, your third marriage. You coming to the table. You got stuff. You know, you got family. You got, you know, kids. You may have kids from your prior marriage or whatnot. You want to make sure some things is safe for them. You know what I mean? So, and I think the other party should hopefully understand that. So, man, this is a deep topic though, Shire. What are your thoughts on it?
I feel like we've talked about like prenups.
Yeah, I think
before,
we did before.
And I feel like we've kind of like gone back and forth. Like, you don't need a prenup if you're going to be together. And it's like, no, you need to get a prenup. You need to protect your assets.
Yeah. Do you want to go over the scenario that they laid out in the article about?
Okay, sure. So in the article. Look, I'm going to change these names, okay?
Let's change the names.
Okay. So they say, take the case, hypothetical, we're going to call her Tammy. Yeah. Okay. Tammy wants her spouse to be Jerome. I'll change his name as well. So she wants Jerome to stay home with the kids.
Yes.
While she pursues her lifetime dream of being a contractor. Tammy is a go-getter. And her plan is to borrow $1 million, construct and sell a dream house, and use it to showcase her talents.
Okay, Tim.
The problem from, what's his name? Jerome's? The problem from Jerome's perspective is that fulfilling Tammy's dream means giving up his career. Mm. Plus, if they split and the house sells for, say, $500,000.
So less than what, if it's a bad deal.
Yeah. Jerome will get stuck with $250,000 in their debt. Mm. Moreover, Tammy wants to live in Texas, which is far less generous in providing alimony than, say, Massachusetts. So if Tammy's career takes off, but she takes off with the tile subcontractor, Jerome will reap precious little from his investment. Mm. So if Tammy and Jerome marry without resolving this potential conflict, Jerome may get cold feet and file for divorce before he co-signs the construction loan.
Wow.
But what if they sign a prenup that assigns upon divorce all construction debts to Tammy, but provides Jerome half the profits if Tammy's company succeeds for, say, 20 years? Let's say Tammy, this lets Tammy take her shot while protecting Jerome.
So it's about protections. Just like, you know,
I don't like that. I don't like this example.
It's like, at what point will something like that ever happen, right?
I mean,
like,
that's just, but it
but
could.
You get the gist. Yeah.
But it could, because like on the cake, it was like the lady was holding up, you know, the man, you know. And so here you have this man considering marrying this woman who wants to take out $1 million loan to build her dream house. It doesn't sound like it was their dream. It's not like it was something that she wanted to do. And now he's on the hook for it when he's not necessarily in agreement with what's going on. Right. Now, though this example sounds outrageous, I'm sure couples deal with similar situations where maybe one has a dream or a passion that they want to pursue, but it's going to cost the other person in the relationship. And so, like, how do you navigate that? I mean, considering this situation, like, what is Jerome to do?
Yeah, I mean, really, his only option or the best option for him was to kind of get that worked out up front.
And I don't even think that they need a prenup to work that out. Right. I think they need to work that out before they even they even get married.
Before they get married.
Right? But they already, I don't know if the kids were hypothetical or if those were actually real human babies. I'm not sure. Or dogs, because, you know, sometimes they be calling dogs their kids.
But I think the moral of it, Shire, is that, like, you might not want to marry someone for money, but it's important to consider all of these things, right, when you're marrying someone. Mm-hmm. Not every scenario is going to be like ours, where you're kind of just, you know, building it as you fly, like how we
did. And ours not the best scenario. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have dated longer.
Yeah.
You know, you could have came to the table making a little bit more money. You know, maybe I could have come to the table with my stuff together and some of my issues worked out, you know, beforehand.
Yeah. Talk about
I'm sorry. Was that rude? That was rude. No, I'm sorry. Just come as you are. Okay. Come as you are.
But I think one important thing, Shire, though, is like, It's really good building and partnering with someone. You can do more together than you can separate. I think it was Chris Rock, the great philosopher, that said two people can move a couch really easy. You know what I mean?
I don't. But you could move the couch by yourself, though. You can move the couch with me sitting on the couch. Let me stop. Okay, I don't want to take away from your point.
Yeah, but you know.
But I think that we do need to be practical.
We got to be practical.
Right? I don't think...
Look at the time we live in, Shire.
Yes.
You can marry somebody that's broke because y'all in love if you want to. You're going to be in love on the street if you're not careful. So,
yeah.
It's definitely something to consider. Not maybe base your whole, marriage on that, but you definitely want to consider, hey, man, how much does this person have in debt? What are their high income skills? Do they have skills? Can they earn income? Or...
A man should be thinking that of a woman.
I'm just saying, and you know, just considering it at no specific gender, you know, but yeah, you know, everybody should. Maybe the male is thinking about her debt, and maybe she's thinking about his income. But just together, y'all should be thinking and really considering those different types of things. You know, well, maybe not marrying for money, but considering money.
Yeah, I mean, that is also another topic, because you hear a lot of people say, "I'm not going to get married because I have debt." Mm. You know, I'm going to pay off my debt before I get married.
Yeah. I don't agree with that. I think you could do it together. We've proven that, right?
We'll do it together.
You could do it within the marriage.
You can do it within the marriage. Yeah. I was kind of being devil's advocate when I said that. But this article is very like a different take on marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't think that this is how, you know, how you're talking about like your grandparents being married for, you know, 60 plus years and 50 plus years. Like, I don't think that they approached it, you know, in this way. Mm. And many times people who are married, they want the type of marriages that they've seen their grandparents or their great grandparents have.
Yeah.
But you are not going to get that result if you're approaching it with a different mindset.
Right.
I mean, you could. I mean, anything's possible, I guess. But we want their result, but sometimes we're not willing to do the things that they were willing to do in order to achieve that.
Man, that's good stuff.
So I don't know. I feel like this article's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, marry for money, a top economist shares. So obviously this is an opinion.
Opinion piece.
And I think people do need to be practical. I think money is a factor. And you do want to get those things, you know, talked about first. What are your expectations? And what are your goals as a couple?
Yeah. So we want to know what you think. I mean, I think that's only fitting, right, Shire? You let us know what you think on the topic. Is it okay to marry for money? Let us know in the comment section of if you're watching this on YouTube or.
Yeah.
Okay. What you
think? I'm like, this is such an interesting topic.
What else you got?
Since you marry for money, I'm like, well, how much money?
Oh, Lord. I'm sure if it's a crazy number, then yeah, you just go on it. But. You want to be with somebody that you feel like you can build a life with, that you can create life with, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially. So it's not all about the money, but you know, hey, it's definitely something I'm looking at. Just like looks. It's not all about looks, but I want to be able to be with someone who's pleasant looking, right? I mean, don't we all?
Would you be okay, like, if someone married you just for money? I mean, they thought you were nice too, but is that okay?
I would be hurt. I would be upset.
You'd be hurt?
Yeah. If I found out this person married me just because of my, I mean, hey, we used to call that a name.
A gold digger?
Back in the day. I don't want to say anything that's no longer politically correct.
I said gold digger.
Right. So, hey, I would definitely be hurt if you married me just for my money.
Well, rest assured.
Right. I don't have to worry about that. But anyway, yes, let us know what you think in the comment section, whatever you're listening to this on, or, you know, on YouTube, if you're checking out the visuals. We'd love to hear from you. Any other thoughts on this one, Shire?
No.
All right.
This is interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. We're going to holler at you on the next one. Peace.